Joining us on the line right now, a man who's been an NFL reporter for the last 30 years for various platforms. Right now, he's the senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. Clark Judge joins us. Clark, good evening. Thanks for coming on the air with us tonight.
Hey, Murph, my pleasure. How are you?
Good. I'm glad we caught you on an off night for your beloved Montreal Canadiens. The Habs are in a little bit of trouble right now, aren't they?
It was a tough loss last night. I may have watched every game, but that one last night was really tough. Don't ask me about it because I thought they outplayed them and I thought they should have won.
How did you become a Canadiens fan, Clark?
I've followed them for a long time. My dad was in the service, so we moved all over the country, and I love the fact that they were. I probably fell in love with their uniforms first, honestly. Yeah. And then I love the French Canadian names, and I, of course, love the fact that they played such great hockey and they won for so many years. It was just it was a natural team to watch, and as I said, I just love the pace of the play up and down the ice, skating, passing. They were a fun team to watch.
Yeah, you're like my age. You probably fell in love with watching guys like Cornwallé and Guy Lafleur and all those great players they had, Jacques Lemaire, Laperriere. I mean, those were great Canadian teams in the 70s, weren't they?
Yvon Cornwallé was my favorite player, but yeah. I mean, there are guys like Ralph Backstrom, Guy Lapointe, guys like that, and I loved watching them play and watching the games in the Forum. Just seeing a game in the Forum to me was a special event, and I miss that. And we went up to see them last year at Bell Centre, and boy, they were awful that night, but it was a great experience to be there.
Let's talk some football with Clark Judge, the senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. And one of the things that got our attention, Clark, is you probably know this, but we were talking about it tonight on the show. 4 months from today, Sunday, September 8th, kickoff Sunday in the NFL. That seems like a long time out there, but we're kind of polling fans tonight on the show as to who they think will be starters at various positions. And you write recently that E.J. Manuel for the Bills should start immediately. Tell me why you think that he should be starting as soon as possible for the Buffalo Bills.
Well, you invested a lot of money. I mean, not a lot of money. You invested a future in this guy. And so you make him your first-round draft pick. And to me, when you do that, when you get a guy as your first-round draft pick and he's a quarterback, you're either starting him sometime during the first season or you're coming out of the gate starting him. And I looked at what's out there, and I got, okay, Kevin Cobb, Tavares Jackson, and E.J. Manuel. And you've got a new head coach who believes in him, obviously, because he drafted him. And so I put him in that competition with the other guys, and I said there's no reason to believe he can't start. I think he should start. I think he gets people excited and energized. I don't think Kevin Cobb does. I don't think Tavares Jackson does. I think with a new coach and a new quarterback, you get people coming in there going, let's see what we're about. I mean, it's a new system, a new offense. Let's see what we can do here. And I do think just talking to people who know something about this guy, worked him out, looked at him, studied him, they believe in terms of what Doug Marrone might be doing there, he could be the perfect fit for them. And so they just said, listen, what do you have to lose? And I guess that's my point. What do you have to lose? Let's give him a shot. Let's see what's going on. This isn't the New York Giants trying to roll out Eli Manning while Kurt Warner is holding the position. This is a different situation. This is a team that has to, you know, somehow find a way to get back to winning again. So why not try it with new cast of characters?
Clark, does it matter that the Bills open the season against the Patriots at home here in Orchard Park?
Well, sure it matters, but I don't look at that as being a stumbling block. I don't look at that as an obstacle. To me, you know, when Indianapolis rolled out Peyton Manning, I realized, you know, he was the first pick of the draft. But they said, you get out there and you play. And it's the only way you're going to get experience, you play. So if you lose some games, where are you? Well, that's where Buffalo's been the last, whatever, 8-9 years. I mean, losing ball games. So let's try something different here. Now, obviously, as I said, you know, I think you do it because he represents something new and fresh. But if he doesn't win the quarterback competition this summer, if he's woefully behind, you don't do it simply to say, listen, he's our first-round pick, so we're going to put him out there no matter what. No, I mean, he's got to be the guy they think he is. But I think they know something about him, certainly. They chose him for a reason. If he's as good as they think, if the competition's there, if he's with the other guys or even slightly behind, I'd roll him out there and let him play because that's how he's going to learn.
You wrote the article just last week about E.J. Manuel in position to flourish more than any other quarterback in the draft. And it sounds like, well, you did. You talked to an offensive coordinator in the league who had some thoughts on Manuel and why he might succeed here, huh?
Yeah, no, I did. I just said, hey, listen, let's go down these quarterbacks quickly. And he goes, Manuel, I love him there. I think this guy's got a chance to be something special. I think he's got a chance. And I said, what about long term? He goes, well, it depends on that team. But I think he can actually elevate this ball club for numbers of reasons that I think explained there. He said he thinks he will run that offense better than most people that he could think of. And he said certainly the quarterbacks we looked at as rookies here and then guys who have a chance to start. But he's got some people around him, too. You know, Murph, I look at what they did in the draft. I love the fact that they got Woods in the second round. I thought that was a real important addition for them. You know, and then they go get Goodwin, I think, what was it, the fourth round or so? And and so you've got a speed guy who can stretch the field at least. But you've now got some weapons to play with. I mean, we already know you got Steve Johnson. You've already, you know, you got the running backs. What are you going to do opposite Johnson? Well, I tell you, Robert Woods is a terrific receiver. He's productive. He doesn't have great speed, but he's a productive guy, reliable hands. I thought that was a great pick. And now you put in a rookie quarterback, he's got a chance. He's got a chance to do something. So the problem you've got is you play in a division with Tom Brady. You know, as long as Tom Brady's there, everyone else is playing for second. But you've got a chance now to move ahead because the Jets clearly are the fourth-best team in this division. And now, you know, you've got to go after Miami, which seems to have loaded up. But I don't know. I mean, let's just see. I think Buffalo's got some talent. They've got a new regime in there. Let's see if they can put together and try to make a run.
I thought your offensive coordinator, when he talked about Manuel and the Bills, nailed it when he told you, Clark, Manuel will be successful only if the Bills retool the league's 22nd-ranked defense. And I've maintained for, you know, for the last 4 months that really last year's problems had a lot less to do with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Chan Gailey and how many touches C.J. Spiller got, and a lot more to do with just the defense being so porous and giving up so many yards game in and game out.
Murph, so did this guy. I mean, he believed in Fitzpatrick, too, but he said, listen, you know, you can't succeed there if you're going to be hemorrhaging the points and the third downs conversions as they were last year. And he said, you know, they had that four-man rush. It just didn't work out. They couldn't get to the quarterback. And I remember watching a game specifically against Tennessee where they came back late, and it was frustrating because they were a better team. The Bills were a better team, and yet they lost that ball game because they couldn't pressure the pocket. So that's I think that's a key component here. And obviously, if you're the quarterback, you've got to move the chains and you can't turn the ball over. Otherwise, the defense is going to be on the field a lot more. So I think those are key components as well. But as I said, I go back to, you know, a team that hasn't won for years and they use a first-round pick on a quarterback. What else do you think he's going to do? To me, he's basically got to start.
Clark Judge, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. And in the same article where you mentioned that E.J. Manuel has a chance to flourish here in Buffalo, you talk about Geno Smith and the coordinator you talked to said he's got no chance, quote, no chance to succeed. Is that, you feel that way, Clark?
Yeah, I live in New York, and I do right now, for the short term at least, because, you know, forget about all the controversy surrounding this ball club, you know, Tebow, Sanchez, that sort of thing. Let's look at who the quarterback will be and what he's got to play with. And I don't care whether it's Sanchez. I don't care whether it's Geno Smith. I don't care whether it's Joe Namath, you know, Richard Todd, whoever they want to roll out there, Chad Pennington. They don't have a chance when you look at the playmakers because there aren't any. You go, Santonio Holmes, he's coming off a Liz Frank injury. Right? And then you got Stephen Hill. And he's raw and really he's a project. And running back, you got Chris Ivory, just picked up from the Saints. Jeez, I mean, who's going to – Dustin Keller, he's gone. I mean, you don't have any. Cumberland's your tight end. So what are you going to do to get the ball down the field? How are you going to put points on the board? And I don't know how they do that. You say, well, okay, do you have a suffocating defense? They lost over the half their defensive starters. This is a teardown project, John. This is a team that's completely starting out. They're rebuilding. And, you know, when you heard Woody Johnson say yesterday, fans have got to be patient. Basically what he's saying is, hey, guys, we're rebuilding. Okay, we are going to stink this year. And I think everyone knows that. So the question is, long-term, what's going to happen here? And already there are questions about, you know, Geno Smith and, you know, how involved he was in some of the interviewing processes and that sort of thing. There's so much controversy here that I know that when I was talking to this guy, he just said, you know, I listened to some of these things about Geno Smith, and I just wonder, how can he handle that? He's going to the worst place in terms of trying to handle all that stuff because they're gonna roll him out there and you know, people are going to start booing when he throws an interception. They're going to get on him. How can this guy handle that? Because he really doesn't have a lot of people to take that pressure off of him this year. I think that's going to be an ordeal. I mean, I think he starts, but, you know, Mark Sanchez, I thought, was much better prepared to handle it than Geno Smith. Plus, Mark Sanchez had more supporting actors. This guy doesn't.
Yeah. One more quarterback to ask you about from your article from just last week about quarterbacks, the rookie quarterbacks, and how they might do this year. Ryan Nassib, who your coordinator said is probably a career backup. When you read that, it certainly kind of puts in perspective, despite the surprise that many registered when the Bills chose Manuel and not Nassib, it certainly puts in perspective what real NFL people thought about Ryan Nassib versus E.J. Manuel, doesn't it?
Well, some of them. I mean, certainly some of them. That's not a prevailing opinion. It was the opinion of the guy that I talked to. It was
right.
Also an opinion of a couple other guys that I talked to before the draft. In fact, one of whom said, I have him as a fifth-round talent. I'm not trying to knock the kid down. He was productive. He's a smart kid. He's tough. And he had a great career. When I asked somebody else before the draft, where do you see this guy going? He said, I could see him going in the third round, maybe the second. But he said, I think basically you're looking at a guy who's going to be a really good backup and somebody who can you can spot start. And I think, you know, when I talked to this guy last week, he reiterated that and said, you know, the physical abilities are limited. And I think, you know, if you're sitting behind somebody, he's probably a perfect backup that you can plug in there every so often. And I think the Giants probably look at him that way because he's been drafted by a team that's got a quarterback who hasn't missed a start. And behind him, you've got the number one pick of the 2002 draft. Well, I think you can afford to sit this guy and basically wait on him. But my question is, wait on him for what? I mean, I'm not sure why they picked him other than his value for the pick, but you've got Eli Manning there. I mean, he hasn't missed a start in his career. And as I said, I think with David Carr sitting behind him, could you win with David Carr? Probably not on a regular basis, but you can put him in there and maybe pick up one here or there. But I think that's a perfect setup. So where he fits in, I really don't know. And honestly, that pick sort of confounded me.
Hey, Clark, tell me, you know, we are at the point now, and the Bills rookies come in tomorrow. All over the league, the rookie camps are opening up this weekend. You wrote an item today on CBSSports.com that were about 10 rookies to check out this weekend, including the Bills' Robert Woods, who you talked about a moment ago. What excites you about Robert Woods?
Productive, and he's from a pro-style offense, polished receiver. He put up good numbers the last 2 years. I mean, big numbers the last 2 years at a big-time program. And that program took a step back last year. I think they were 7-5, but he continued to play very steadily. I know somebody who had a chance to get him in the first round, and he told me, listen, we're not going to take this guy. And this is a wide receivers coach. He said, I love him. He's the best. He thought he was the best wide receiver next to Davon Austin. He said, I'd take this guy in a heartbeat, but we've got other issues, and so my voice won't be heard. But he said, I love this guy, and so do I. I mean, when I'd watch him, USC, I thought he makes catches. He's a good route runner. He's got reliable hands. The knock on, you know, speed, and you know, that's okay. I just think on the other side, there you've got somebody who's got a chance to be a load, honestly. And I look at some teams that passed him by. I'm not really sure why that happened. I thought when he landed with Buffalo at the, I think it was 41st pick,
yep.
Very smart move.
Clark, thanks very much. We look forward to that rookie camp. We look forward to seeing you making your trip up to Pittsburgh, I would think, this summer, right?
I wouldn't miss it, Murph.
We look forward to seeing you there. Good luck to the Canadians.
Thank you.